preserve for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go in this world.
Came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words,
long preserved
to help us
for our
in our
walk
in this world. They resound with God's own heart.
In the house of the Lord. Word of God ever true. Every day. When you read it, it don't change. You read it today, you read it tomorrow, you read it the next year, years past, never changes. Always gets better. Like a brother said one time, it's like a slice of onion. It's like an onion peel. That peel is just real thin, but it's onion all the way through. So it's the word of God all the way through. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Good to have each and every one of you with us. Good to have Brother Luis back with us. We're here getting ready to hear a good report of what's been going on down there. And pray for Sister Christine. She's not feeling well tonight. She's a little under the weather. And a different one, Sister Esther, still fighting. But just keep fighting. Just keep fighting. Your time will come. Don't worry. This coming Saturday, remember, at 3 o'clock, we'll have a service. Brother Chris Long will be with us. And then we'll have a meal afterwards. Just if you have any questions, get with Sister June. We're expecting a good time. Brother Chris hadn't been here in a little bit, so he's looking forward. They're coming in tomorrow, so we're going to have a good time this weekend in the Lord with him. So also remember, immediately following the service, they're going to head out and they're going home. And then June and I are going up to Ohio to the pastor's retreat Monday through Thursday. We'll be back Thursday night, and then we'll leave Friday for Jamaica. So just keep us in your prayers, and we sure appreciate the Lord letting us to be able to do that. Remember also July the 18th through the 20th. Keep remembering that, those dates. If you want to go, sign up downstairs so we can know how much food to bring and get you a room. All right, so just remember that. Brother Bob will be speaking this coming Wednesday. Like I said, Sister June and I won't be here. We'll be in Ohio with service up there on Wednesday. Just keep us in prayer. Keep Brother Bob in prayer. He'll be speaking for us Wednesday. And then next Sunday will be Brother Donaldo Bautista will be here speaking for you when we're in Jamaica. So just keep him in prayer. We sure love Brother Donaldo, and we appreciate him, appreciate his ministry. Sorry we're not going to be able to be with him, but we'll be able to catch the service later. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to again to Hebrews 5, verse 8. Tonight what we're going to do is I was thinking a couple of days ago, you know, we talked about a body thou hast prepared me last Sunday, fitting for the resurrection, and then also now we're talking about building a body, because it'll be a body of Christ on earth, and it will be because of someone comes to maturity. So when we say these words, adoption, tonight I'm going to explain why we need to be adopted. All right? Through the scriptures and through the prophet's message. It's not just something that I believe. I believe this adoption is the most important thing to get us to a body change. Because you're going to have rule over this, the same as Adam had rule over this back in the garden. And the Lord Jesus gave us that mandate for us to do that in this age. So we can, and we will. Someone will do that in this age. I'll promise you. That's thus saith the Lord. Because there's not going to be, we know what happened now with the Pope. We don't know what's going on, but we'll see in the next couple of weeks. We'll know something. But we know one thing's for sure. I was thinking today, the whole world speculates about everything. Stock market, they speculate. Economy, they speculate. Who's going to be the next pope? They speculate. Who's going to be the next president? They speculate. We as brides should not be speculating. We know. We have read the paper already. If you'll just listen to what the prophet said and let the Holy Ghost speak to you. But he's not going to speak to you if you continue to be a baby. He's going to speak to you in baby form. But he wants mature Christians. You do not, as beautiful and cute as all these babies are in this room right now, you do not want them to still act like this 10 years from now. Amen. Though some do. It's not normal, though, right? And you know those ones, right? But if you grow up to be a mature person, then you ought to be able to grow up and be a mature person in God. And there is a way to get there, and it's through the message of the hour. Now, we know it's through the Bible, but the Bible alone, listen to me, the Bible alone with your own personal idea will not work. I said with your own personal idea, I think. We have a surety of a message. And it's going to put a body together without spot or wrinkle. You say, oh, well, that's going to be, somebody's got to be it here. Somebody's come to perfection here. Somebody's got to bring that headstone here. Somebody's got to change, have enough faith to change your body here. So when are we going to start believing that it's us? Amen. I'm just believing it's us. Amen. So Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ. This is talking about God himself in human flesh. All right? Remember, they built him a body. The Old Testament saints built him a body. He went into that body, but that body was not perfect. That body was a man that was dying in flesh. Hard to say, but he was dying in flesh, because that's what died at Calvary, the flesh. Though he were a son, he was born the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have to be born into the family of God. He was the family of God and still is the family of God. You and I had to come across the chasm and be born the way we are here. But just think about it. You know, Brother Brown made a statement one time, real quick, and I'll let you be seated. Brother Brown said, you know, the Immaculate Conception is not as strange or as supernatural as a regular birth. You think about it. You think about it. It was one sperm, one egg placed in the womb of Mary. You and I came here. Well, you understand if you're an older adult. You understand how we got here. You'll know what election is. And you'll know what foreordination is, and you'll know what God did before the foundation of the world. He gave you an angel before you were even born. to protect you while you're here, to get you to a place. Because you know what? The devil wants to kill us all. He tried to cut him off at 2 years old. He tried to kill Moses' generation. He tried to kill Jesus' generation. Physically killing babies. Right? Well, he's physically trying to kill babies now. Babes in Christ. He's trying to make us what? Dilatory and where we just don't do it. You know, we're just in the message and we just come to church because it's a ritual and the preacher talks about adoption and we know what adoption is in the world, but we don't know why in the world we need to be this place. Well, we're going to find out maybe to let the scriptures show us tonight. So, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Amen. And being made perfect, when he came out of the tomb, His soul was already perfect. Spirit was already perfect. His body had to be made perfect. By what? The process of death, because he didn't die for himself. He died for us. All right? And he resurrected for our justification so that we can look back to the cross and say, God, I know what you did. Now you're inside of me. Finish your work, because we are here to finish the work of God. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the word tonight, for the singing, Lord, and for just us showing up, Father. I pray that you'd give us, Lord, the supernatural strength tonight, Lord. Just raise us up. Lord, many are tired and weary, Father, and we know it's just an old human body, but Lord, just give us a spark tonight, Father, that we can hear from you. Father, bless us. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones we call, the ones on the prayer list, all the different things, Lord. I pray that you'd bless the weekend coming up, Lord, with Brother Chris and Sister Joanna, that they'll get here, Lord, and have a good time in you, Father. We'll all gather around your word, Father, and say, did not our hearts burn within us as we heard what our brother had to say to us this weekend? Father, forgive us of our sins and bless in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, Timothy, you can be seated. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, wow, what about Paul? Paul didn't write the Old Testament, but he took the Old Testament, and by revelation, he knew Jesus Christ raised from the dead because of what he was preaching. Now, remember, he's preaching it here. Jesus died back here. So you see how the word is eternal. The word goes both directions. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Let's skip on down. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now, I want to ask you kids something. When you were young and little and you were outside playing or playing with a neighbor's kid, and you did something wrong, and your mom and daddy comes outside and looks like they had a tree in their hand, not just a limb, and it was a hand, not a paddle, you know, and they spanked you and said, this is hurting me worse than it's hurting you. I thought my dad and mom had lied. Right, Sophia? Sophia's going down. Why? Because we got in trouble. And we suffered. Our rear ends and other parts got... we suffered. But I thank God for everyone I got and should have got some that I didn't get. You say, well, that hurt. Yes, it hurt, but I remembered what my journey took me to and when I should not do that again, right? Because of the consequence that I got when I did it. Everybody with me? So if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And we know the Bible says that if you can't stand correction, that you're a bastard child. Now, that's the Bible. That's not what I said. That's what the Bible said. If you can't stand correction, any of us. Why? Because if we can stand correction, that means we're coming to maturity. If we can't stand correction, then we're just a bunch of babies. Because babies hate correction. Young kids don't like to be corrected. They're not saying that, man, but us adults are. But they don't understand. But when will they understand? When they go through the same thing we went through. I'm trying to simplify this a little bit tonight where we can understand what's the importance of adoption. Why do we need to come to a position called adoption? It's not adoption like the world. Everybody with me? Adoption like the world is if you can't have children and you'd like to adopt a child that is maybe in foster care or in some other ward of state or anything like that, if you want to adopt that person, then you can what? It's not your kid, but you adopt it into your family. It becomes your kid. Legally, by here on earth, it becomes your kid. But it didn't come from you. Now, when we come to the adoption of sons in the Bible, we come from our earthly parents, but our heavenly parents is the one that's going to adopt us. We can't adopt ourselves. Listen, the tutor in Galatians didn't adopt that person. It was the father. The father is the only one that can adopt you into the family, not into the family as a family member. If you're born again tonight, you are in the family of God. I've been watching a movie, and it's called The House of David, and it's really pretty accurate. Samuel is a really good, the guy that plays is a really good prophet. That's the way I figured Samuel would be. Just a crusty old guy that just comes out and, have you watched it, Nyla? It's good, isn't it? But you got King Saul. You got King Saul. Then you got Jonathan standing there with him, fighting battles, and he, you know, all this. And then you've got the other son. We've got him in all of our families, that other son, or that other daughter, that's just a happy-go-lucky. He's drinking all the time, and he's got ladies around him, and he don't want to fight. But he's still Saul's son. And we get toward the end, Saul and Jonathan's out on the battlefield. They think they're getting killed, so they anoint that dude king. And they could, because he was the son of Saul. So as you and I are the sons and daughters of God, sure, we'll misbehave. We'll take correction or we won't. And we can stay babies. But you're not going to come to a full understanding of why you're here on this earth. You're not going to come to the full understanding that you are in the line of becoming kings and priests yourself. Not just because you're in the family, it's because you come to a position in the family. So is everybody with me? Adoption is placing a Christian in a place where God, just like Adam. Now, Adam wasn't adopted because he wasn't born. But in type, what did God do? God said, this is my son. And at that time, when he was full grown, he said, you get the earth, I'll take care of heaven, you take care of the earth. All right? He had rulership over the earth, and he was not questioned one time until the fall. Praise the Lord. God had fellowship with him every single day, face to face, just like a child, just like a man and a woman in him and God. Everybody with me on that? Why? Because he had instilled all the power on earth. He had given it to Adam. Okay? So he was adopted, as you say, into the family. He was already a son, but remember, he wasn't a baby, so we can't type it all the way up. But remember, he did have complete rulership of this whole earth. I'm talking about top to bottom. And being a spirit man, all right, come up. Being a spirit man, he could travel like a thought. Remember, folks, whatever happened in the Garden of Eden on the good side, that's what we're going back to. There was a great gulf, as we were talking Sunday. There's a great gulf that God, in other words, he said, stop, I can't see what you're doing anymore. I cannot stand your sin, but I'm not going to annihilate you. I'm just going to make the earth be cursed, and whatever you took out of the earth is going to curse you. All right? Is everybody with me on that? But before that, it wasn't that way. But afterwards, God said, I'm going to put a division, but I will come again as the woman's seed and put all this back together again. The chasm and everything will be brought together. You and I will be brought back into fellowship, and we're going to see some of it now on the earth today, I believe we're fellowshipping more with God, closer to God, than we've ever fellowshipped before. You say, I don't see anything. Are you here just to see? Are you here just to see? I'm here to believe. I'm here to believe and then see the results of what I believe. Because remember, sometimes things I believe as a human may not be right. You may not be right, but God's always right. But we've got to suffer for a little period of time. And that doesn't mean, really, they suffered like Peter was crucified upside down. Totally choking himself to death upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like the Lord. James was killed with a sword. One of them's head was cut off. One of them went to some other country and he was pulled apart by animals. I'm talking about the apostles, the one that God anointed to take the word to the world. They gave their life, all but John the Baptist, they gave their life to get this gospel out. So they suffered. But they're going to reign. But it wasn't. But now remember, now listen. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is a dispensation. Their dispensation was, that was the first church age. There were six more to come. There had to be six more messengers. There had to be six more groups of people come to bring the whole body. Because remember, we're building a body, not just a piece. We're building a whole body. And it takes the whole body for the whole head to sit on top of. So if we suffer, we'll also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. In other words, you can stand all day and disbelieve and disbelieve and disbelieve and disbelieve. God's going to do what his word said. He's going to do it. It doesn't matter what you think. He's going to do what his word said. What we have to do is we've got to plug ourselves into that revelation so that we can get the benefit from it. And what little bit of suffering, like I said, think about those in the dark ages where the women that were expecting a baby, they cut the baby out of the belly of the woman and threw them to the dogs and let them eat them and the hogs. Just because they were Christians. And guess who? What spirit they were under. Are you ready? They were under the spirit of Constantine. And we have a Constantine right now. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Listen, don't be afraid. Be vigilant. Okay, we're not to fear. Fear brings torment. You continue to do as you're doing. Keep going as you're going. Amen? Brother Brown said, if you knew that the Lord was coming tomorrow, plant potatoes if that's what you're doing. If you're going to get married, go ahead and get married. Right? If you knew the Lord was coming tomorrow. So we can't just do as some did many years ago. You know, Brother Branham said that education was of the devil, so they pulled all the kids out of school. This was of the devil, and that was of the devil, and they just started pulling. I mean, here we are standing here today. Okay? We're educated. Some advanced education. And we're doing fine. Just don't let that education get in the way of your walk with God. Because we have to be educated to get a real good job so that we can survive in this world. It's just the way Laodicea is. All right? So I'm not going to tell you to do that, but it was a prevalent thing. When you got 16 years old, state of Georgia said they had to go to school until they were 16. As soon as you turn 16 years old, they pull you out of school and put you to work. And that was your parents because they had a revelation that wasn't updated. Praise God, my dad didn't have that revelation. He was far advanced from that. He always asked the question, why did all the other Branham kids graduate high school and Brother Branham was against it? All right, let's continue on. Smyrna church age. Why does he stand by? The reason is Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So where's the revelation going to come? It's going to come to us and through us and be us. Amen. That's the adoption. That's where God is going to not become silent. he's going to become more vocal than he ever has in his whole entire life. His whole entire existence was to give his voice to a group of people and then be the final voice to the final age under our messenger. You and I are going to finish this thing up.
Amen.
By the spoken word. Not by an idea, not by an emotion, not by a sensation, but by the spoken word of God. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character. Now, let me stop for a minute. Now, you take that and you read the Bible, and I'm sure maybe Martin Luther read the Bible because it was put in print when he was a monk there in the monastery, and then he come out and you know did what he did with the coming out and making the Reformation or coming out and being a non-Catholic. You know, he read that scripture. And Martin Luther was known, they said, to just lay out on the street and drag yourself across the stones and try to get rid of all that. If you ever saw the movie, there's a movie about Martin Luther, and it was made very well because it showed him laying on the ground trying to do penance in his body to get God to forgive him of his sins. Till he gets up one day, and God strikes him and says, "The just shall live by faith." So Martin Luther stood up on his feet and he started a message. He started a reformation from that Catholic doctrine of doing penance and doing all these different things and sticking yourself and smacking yourself. You can do that till the day you die and it will not help you. So unless we suffer doesn't mean that we have to do that. It does mean that there's a lot of things that we willingly give up. When you sisters married your husband, I hope you willfully gave yourself to your husband, because that's what a wife's supposed to do. Is everybody with me on that? So guess what? We are the bride of Christ, and we've got to do the same thing to him. Give up our will, not my will, but thy will be done. As Jesus said when he went into Gethsemane, you and I got to come to the same thing. Because Brother Brown told us, he said, look, power without character is satanic. But power with, in other words, give a baby a key to the car and tell him tonight to get in the car and drive you home. That's no character, no victory. Right? So a man without character can't reign, because a kid will drive, don't even know how to start the car, but it's the same person that if he lives to 16 years old, they're going to get to drive a car. Yeah. Everybody understand that? That's why we're coming to the adoption part. You can trust your kids for certain things. You can trust them to do certain things. You can trust them not to do certain things. Okay? Right? So God's the same way. There's only one way we can understand adoption is to understand our own regular life. Our own family, our own upbringing, and watching our kids grow up as God watches our self grow up. Because remember, the Bible tells us, I read in Galatians, where we are under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. In other words, you're getting ready to graduate. Are you going to graduate with honors, or are you just going to barely make it by the skin of your teeth? Am I with me? So if you graduate by the skin of your teeth, you still graduate, but you're behind, as the old saying, you're behind the eight ball. But if you want to further your education, you want to get into a little more revelation, it's there already for you. You've just got to go to school. Tutors and governors is the Holy Ghost plus apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, elders, elder sisters, elder brothers that can help you through your life. For anything you need, there's an answer if you'll just listen. Now, you may be like some, that some has come, as Brother Dale said, people come to him and say, I'm going to change jobs. What do you think? He said, well, what am I going to think? You already said you're going to change jobs. You already got your mind made up. Why do you need my approval? Now, if you come and say, Brother Dale, I've got these two things right laying in front of me, and I don't know which one to do. Then we'll pray about it. Any of your brothers. I ain't jealous. You ask any of the brothers. I don't care. I say, look, I've got these two things right here. in front of my life, and I'd like to have an answer from God. Then, see, somebody can help you. But if you come and say, "No, you know, I'm moving to Kentucky. What do you think?" Well, what Brother Dale said, he said, "Well, God bless you. See you later. You already made your mind up." Well, are we that way with God, to where we come to God and say, "Look, God, this is the way I want to do it, but what do you think about it?" Sorry, ain't going to happen. Because we will always make a mistake. God will never make a mistake. So a man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is a train wreck, in other words, or a car wreck. But power with character is fit to rule what? Somebody that knows what they're doing with the tools that God gives them. All right? I know this is simple, but we need to understand why, instead of just throwing these words out, adoption and all these different things. Know why we need to come to adoption. Know why that it's required, especially in this age. Because it's in the Bible. And since he wants us to share even his throne on it, listen, God is not, sure, God's a jealous God, but God doesn't want to be God alone. Everybody with me? He doesn't want to be God alone. Or he would have never said in Scripture, "Ye are God's," who the Word comes to. He said he wants to share everything with us. Listen, Romans 8, we'll get to it maybe later on. Romans 8 says heirs and joint heirs. I read it here a minute ago, Brother Brown read. Heirs and joint heirs. That means we get the same thing Jesus gets. If he got a body change, we get a body change. We just don't have to go to a cross like he did. We have to bear a cross, but we don't have to go to a physical cross like he did, because he did it once for all. He made one sacrifice. The only sacrifice he's wanting from us is our life. And not death. He wants your life. He wants you to live for God. But remember, living for God and not knowing what you're doing is satanic. That's basically what he's saying. Okay? You can live for God, but you can be like the Saul's youngest boy. He was just a what Brother Brown said, rapsed about. He just didn't care about nothing, but he was a son. And when everybody died out, they thought they died out, he was a king. Didn't matter. He was in line. He was in the family. But remember, God's not going to give you the key to the car and you be a baby. All right, so let's go through the Bible just a little bit right here. We already talked about three poles. We know what that is. We're in the age of adoption, to where God is. Now remember, he has come, as in the book of Matthew tells us, this Elijah restores everything back to its original owner. Everybody with me? Lord, don't fall asleep. It's only 7:51. I had a bad day, too. I had a root canal yesterday. And boy, y'all must have prayed well. Whatever you prayed, pray the same prayer for all the rest of you. I have never had a root canal that I couldn't feel. That means I had a root canal. You felt it, didn't you? I'll promise you, I didn't feel anything but one stick of a needle. That's all I felt. And they didn't knock me out either. This guy was good. And he told me, I said, "How long is this going to take?" I said, "This is a wisdom tooth. You got four roots on a wisdom tooth. Four, not two. Four." He said, "I'll be done in 25 minutes. He said, "You time me." I said, "You're lying." He sat down as soon as the Novocaine got good and numb. He sat down and he said, "Time starts." He was a pretty cocky guy. 21 minutes later, he stood up and walked out the door. Finished, done, and I walked out behind him. 21 minutes and didn't feel a thing. Thank God. Thank God. I appreciate that. I'll give you the guy's name and number. He's not cheap, but oh, I went through some of them where, who was it we were talking about? Who was we talking about? I mean, I have literally gripped the sides of the chair and almost feel the leather. Oh, you told me. That's right, Donnie. You feel the leather coming up, Brother John. You know, it's like. Not with that guy, man. You could have sang Amazing Grace and it wouldn't have hurt nothing. Because that's what it was. It was Amazing Grace. But thank God for that. I don't know why we got into that, but anyway. But God's good. He's mindful. Sometimes you got to ask him, though. You can't just say, "Well, that's too, Regina, that's just, you, why should you ask that? That's just silly." There's nothing silly in God. If he got you here, put you here, put you not sitting here, but put you in this age, in this message, he wants to hear from you. If we're to be the final voice to the final age, there's got to be somebody that's going to listen to you. And it's going to be your fellow brother. But God is the one that hears you and says, hey, I am pleased to dwell in that vessel. Hear what they have to say. Isn't that what Jesus said? They baptized him. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. If you're born again today, he's pleased to dwell inside of you. You say, well, I did this, I did that. Your soul didn't. Your soul can't sin. If it's born again, it cannot sin. It cannot have a bad thought. It cannot even have a bad day. But you see how much that sin, though, got into our body and our spirit realm to where it just motivates everything we do? So this adoption thing is what? I know I was motivated. My rear end was motivated by my mom and my dad, mainly my mom, to do better, to not do that over again. I don't like do-overs. But if you remember, if you take a test and fail it, guess you go out and take it again. But we had a restoration that was to restore not just to, from a Baptist to a message believer, Methodist to a message believer, a worldly person to a message believer. We got a message that's going to take us all the way to the change of the body, to where that everything, every fiber of your being one day, as it's beginning to now, I believe, it's going to be transformed, and you're going to be able to have power over it. Amen. That ought to make you happy, but I guess some of you are not happy for that. I'm really happy for that. And remember, though, you got to come to a place to where God's not going to say, all right, I'll give you, Sister Alicia, you've got all power. I want $1 million. Give me a car. And I'll, you know, take me to Hawaii, Lord. For see, that's a baby. That's a baby. I'm not saying you're a baby. You understand that. But that's what a baby would do with that money if you were given $1 million. A baby wouldn't know what to do with it. A grown adult wouldn't know what to do with it. Invest it, put it up, buy a few things you want, but put it up for the future, X, Y, Z. Well, same way with God. When you become born again, you are a son and daughter of God. You have the ability to come to adoption. Other than that, you have no ability to come to this adoption I'm telling you about. No ability. God's not going to, what Brother Dale always say? God is not going to adopt the devil's children. There's no reason to, because they're just satanic, and they have power, satanic power. They don't have God's power. They have satanic power. But you and I are under this message of restoring all things, and we'll get to it in the seals, to where when that seal opened, when all those seals opened, sure it showed Jesus Christ. Amen? Showed us where the devil was. Now we know where the devil's at. He was right here. In my thoughts, in my ideas, in my own religion, in my own quotes, in my own whatever fit my. No. Jesus said, not my will, thy will be done. That's what you and I got to come to. And he will do that, because if he conquered the cross, on the cross, before the cross, in Gethsemane, you and I, he did it so that you and I can do the same thing. You will have a Gethsemane experience, I promise you. If you're going to take a body change, you'll have a Gethsemane experience. You'll have a place where you'll stand and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Not my ideas, not my wants, not my needs, whatever you say, Lord, that's what I'll do. Can we do that? Amen. Well, see, that's why we must have adoption. That's why we must come out of child training, drinking milk. Milk's good. But milk ain't got everything you need. You got to come over here and start eating some beans and potatoes and a little bit of meat. And if you're a vegetarian, we'll pray for you. I ain't never seen one that had any color. The anointed ones at the end time, Brother Brown said, look, no, it's the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. When did he begin to declare his message? When the seals opened, he started declaring what God told. When he said he's coming to restore all things, that is the all things. Right, Brother Bob? That's the all things. all things is bringing back to where whenever seal opens, let me finish my thought. Whenever seal opens, you're going to see what? Jesus Christ, a white horse rider run out or a red horse rider, but you're going to see where he was at, and you're going to see who's there now. Because you are an open book. You are the seal that was open. Now, we know we're sealed till the day of our redemption. But remember, you got a body and a spirit you got to tame. You listen, if you're born again today, you're sealed in. It's like the box car. You got everything in there. You got the box sealed. You got the conductor or the guy who's put the seal on it. And nobody can open that box up. Satan can't open that box up for nothing. It's sealed to your destination. But where do you want to go? Do you want to go just out in the yard and be sitting there for a while and not, you know, not go out there and unload your cargo? No, you want to unload your cargo yourself. And to unload the cargo means you give this message or you give this eternal life to someone else. You give your life, not your life physical, your life spiritual, to preach the word of God, to go different places, to go different places, sing different songs, worship, do the things that we do here. We're going to preach on that not in the near future, but I got a little thought about even a body thou hast prepared me. But remember, take your natural body. What color is your blood? Is this hard? What color is your blood?
Red.
But what in your blood fights disease? Where's that at? You got white blood running around all over the place when they stick you? Do you got white blood running everywhere? No. Your blood's red. But what's inside of you? Inside of that blood cell is something that'll keep you and it will heal you. And it's white. The Holy Ghost. The white righteousness of God. Remember, if you see red through red, is what? White. And that white blood cell is what heals you. Your red blood cell do not heal you. It carries oxygen. Everybody with me? Been studying a little bit on that. Oxygen flows, but over here you got white blood cells mingled in, and they go to one place, and that's where you need it most if you go to a break or you've got even a headache. Wherever your body's paining or hurting, wherever your body's hurting, I hope somebody gets a little spiritual here. Wherever your body's hurting, that white Holy Ghost, that white blood cell, knows where to go. It's the same life as the red. There's no two lives in there. It's the same life as the red, but one has one deal that takes care of this and one that takes care of this. All right, we'll talk about that maybe later on. But the very body that you live in proves that there's a God that's got everything inside your body that you need. Now remember, not in a fallen condition. We understand that. But Adam wasn't sick. He had blood flowing through his veins. He had a heart. He had a liver. Lungs. He was a man.
Right.
Listen, guess what? Jesus was born. Oh, he was God. He didn't have nothing inside of him but God. No, he had a liver, lung, heart, blood cells.
Right.
But he was Almighty God. Same way with you and I. Listen, we're a many-membered body working together to bring this body under subjection. You cannot bring your body under subjection sitting at home listening to tapes. Because the prescription that the doctor gave us a while back in the Bible, it says, come to church and listen to apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Okay? That's just pretty much the way I get my vitamins. That's where I get my vitamins at, Brother Donnie. I just can't get it anywhere else. Yeah, you can go sit under a tree and you can have a happy, blessed time, and it's happened to all of us. Go down the road and God come into the car with you so strong. You know, one time I had my hat on, I was working. I was driving down the road and I was meditating on something and a song came on and I just felt the presence of the Lord and I just threw my hat out. I don't know if it went out the window, I just lost the thing. But I wasn't gonna have it on with God there with me. But he was there with me. I hope you have that same experience. It's not going to make you any better than anybody else, but it is kind of good to have God come on the scene and be right there visible.
Amen.
Visible? Visible. Visible in your mind that there is a God there.
Amen.
Listen, we get the devil there a lot. Why don't we glory when God comes? The devil's there all the time. He's got to move the devil out of the way to get to me. Y'all pray for me then. If you walk where angels walk, that's fine. Good for you. Now, the very day when this messenger. Now, what was his message? The opening of the seals, because no one had preached that until Jesus preached them in Matthew 24, 2,000 years ago. No one understood them. Paul had a little bit of an understanding, but not a complete, not a restore all things. Then you come over here to our age, where everything's going to be restored back to the faith of the fathers plus. Faith of the fathers plus. Because the faith of the fathers didn't have the opening of the seals. They didn't have all the mysteries revealed. Everybody with me? But we do. And what are we doing with them? Are we just sitting them on a shelf? Bible says study to show yourself approved. Kids, if you don't study, and you go to school, what's going to happen? You're going to get a bad grade. You're going to get a zero. Well, that's the same way with God. If you don't study, you're not going to get anything from God. Because listen, the only way you get anything from God is this right here. Yeah, press play. That's okay. That's all right. But this Bible says to come here and get your filling from a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Let me put it this way. For the adoption of the saints. Amen. You won't get adopted by pressing play. That ain't the only way. They can say them little cute things all they want to. That's fine with me. But I was telling you Sunday, a lot of people are doing that. They're doing it by the droves. But there's something inside of me that says no. No. That ain't going to work. Every time I hear that, it's like, you know, people heard, you know, you hear things, and people hear things, say, well, let's go to Jeffersonville. All you got, well, we're listening to tapes. He's our fivefold ministry. Brother Brown's our prophet. He's our pastor and all the different things. Well, you know what? When I hear that, the symbol don't sound. I can't hear that. Brother Alex, it's an uncertain sound. Can it be to you? Are you leaning that way? I tell you what happened to me a couple of days ago. I was fixing to study on something that somebody had brought that from the Believe the Sign people. You can go there if you want to. But there's a spirit with that thing. There's a spirit you don't need. If you're weak, you definitely don't need that spirit. Because it's preying on weak people. But Brother Luis, I'll open my tablet to pull up that website. I had a couple of hours to do nothing. Believe that? I made time. I was going to study this out to see if, you know, if what they're saying is true or how you can combat that or how. You know. And with my hand up to the Lord, something spoke to me and said, don't touch it. Don't ever go there. And when I shut that book, I don't know how I stood up out of that chair, but I stood up out of that chair and I was gone. Completely away from that thing, whatever that was going on. You be careful. It's okay to study certain things. It's okay to study to make yourself approved. But don't you start diving into that stuff, because I'm telling you, that is a spirit that will get a hold of you. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it will absolutely trap you. That's what's happening. Them people that left the message, they don't have the Holy Ghost. Can't. Like I said before, there ain't nothing in here that says that's right. All right? They can tell me this after that. I'm telling you, folks, you can find fault. They found fault in Jesus. They called him you hang around sinners too much. You hang around prostitutes. You don't wash your hands when you eat. Well, count me in that group. I wash my hands all the time. But they put that on him, though, Brother Bob. They put that on him, saying you ain't God just because you don't wash your hands. Yeah, right. Are you with this group over here, or you don't believe the way we do, so you're Beelzebub? They called God Beelzebub. What do you think they're going to call you? Right. They're going to find fault with you. They found fault with him, Brother John, and he was perfect. But remember, they couldn't get past the humanity watching Jesus eat, watching him sleep, maybe getting sick, throwing up. I'm just being real. Hey, go to the bathroom. Jesus had to go to the bathroom. He was that human. So they saw that. It's like Jesus said when we were watching The Chosen. If you remember, he was in the courtyard with his mama. Remember? And he was getting like at the end of the season, whatever, before this one coming up. And he's talking to his mother. And he said, Mother, they don't see me because of this. I'm human. She said, I know you are. I changed your diaper. So, you know, and they had a little chuckle with it. But that's the truth. That's the same way with me and you. They'll pick us apart if you'll let them. Just don't get a hold of that thing. Don't let it get a hold of you. There's nothing to it. It's all lie and vanity. You can find fault. Listen, why don't they find fault in Billy Graham? I was thinking about this the other day, Brother Bob. Why have they not found fault with Benny Hinn and Billy Graham and Oral Roberts? Oh, sure, they found some little things. But, man, they're after Brother Branham just because he brushed his teeth. I mean, that ain't true, but that's about as silly as it is. So let me just warn you. Just be mature when you look at something. If you don't understand this message, then you don't need to delve into that. Without the Holy Ghost, you better leave it alone. It is a very strong spirit, because you know what it is? It's a spirit of iniquity. And the Bible tells us iniquity shall abound in the end time, and the love of many will wax cold. And they're so cold till they hate this message. They hate anybody that has anything to do with it, and they sure hate the prophet. First pull was healing. Second pull was prophesying. Third pull was what? The mysteries revealed. And that's what we're under now. The mysteries can only be revealed by a prophet. Now remember, a prophet can't give you a revelation. He can bring you to a revelation. Everybody with me? You don't get a revelation from Brother Branham. You get a revelation from God that says that ain't nothing but the truth. My messenger has come and put it together so you can understand it. That's why John took the book from the mighty angel. He didn't take it from the seventh angel messenger. Sorry. He took it from Christ. Christ told him to eat it up. The seventh angel messenger was the voice to get us to it. In the days of the voice and the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. So why didn't that just finish it all up? No, the whole scene was Christ says, here, John, eat the book. He didn't give it to the angel, and the seventh angel's voice is what gave us the opportunity to get to God. Amen. So give me that. Because I'll promise you, you'll find fault with everybody. Anything you can find fault with. But I'd rather let this speak and not this. Please, let it go into your heart, into your soul. Let it go right here. Because right here, you're going to read. Listen, it's like I said before. How many have seen Jesus? How do you know he resurrected? There's three places they say is the tombs in Israel. Three. They only had to be one. It couldn't be three of them. Crucifixion might have been here. Might have been over there. Do you have to know exactly the stone that the blood fell on? No, you do not. We're not going to get finished with this message. Now watch. So the third pull is what? Here we're coming to adoption. So the third pull is the opening of the Word. Now how are you going to open the Word if you don't know what it is? All right, you've had this Bible in your hand for 2,000 years almost. Well, say 1,500 years. This has been in print and been where you can read it. Why did it take a prophet in the end time to come and restore this back? It didn't restore one word in this book. Didn't add, didn't take from it. What did it take? It took the man's filter, his carnal knowledge of the Word, and changed it to the truth of the Word of God. That's what this message is. That's what this message produced. It was exactly what Jesus spoke. It was exactly what Paul spoke. It was exactly what the Old Testament saints spoke. We were restored back. Now, the Bible says to be totally lost to be the bride of the church. We know that. But remember when Brother Branham was preaching the seals, and I've been to it many, many times, and he's telling them there on the sixth seal, on questions and answers, he said, it's not for you. All right? They've gone from you. Remember, I'm just going to say this by the word of the Lord. They weren't adopted to hear that message. They were still Pentecostal babies. There were still some people that thought Brother Branham was it, and that was all. Because when he died, a lot of them people that were sitting went back to their denomination. That's the truth. There was only a few that started what is now called the message. There was no message churches till way later. Like, I mean, 1968. Because Brother Mike Canada had, and then Athens in 1969, and here in 1971. I don't know. Somebody may have been earlier, but I don't know that they were. I know this started in 71. That was only 6 years after the prophet left. Called the message church, or a message church. So it was to a different group of people. It was not for the dispensation. Well, remember, God brings things. What? God does it, reveals it, and then makes it manifest. Amen. He did it through a prophet. Sure, he revealed. It may have just been for him at the time, but he revealed it to us, and then he's going to make it manifest, what? Through us. Amen. The culmination of our belief is going to be a body change. Amen. Amen. Amen? So adoption is to set, put, or place. To set, fix, establish, to set forth, to establish, or to ordain. Now look, Adam had authority. We know that for a fact. He had all authority of all the whole world. And he could travel like a thought so he could go here and here because he was in spirit. Then what did God do? He planted a garden east of Eden and put Adam in a place because he put him in flesh. He couldn't fly around. But God did that for a purpose, so that everything could head up there and there'd be a fall. He didn't make it happen. He knew it would happen. All right? So let's look and see what the Bible tells us just real quick, and we'll be finished in a few minutes. Look in the book of Malachi 4. Now here's Malachi 4, verse 2, right before Malachi 4, 5, and 6. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and stay a calf. Grow up as calves of the stall. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine. What? By the sleight of preachers. And men, the Bible says, of reprobate mind. And cunning craftiness. They're smart. The devil's smart. He knows how to approach this message. He knows how to get people out of it. Right. Amen. But he will not ever get a son of God out of this message. Amen. Never will he do that. Right. Never will he pry a message believer out of this. Never. Because we're his. We're his children in line of adoption. Amen. We're sealed. Protected. Till the day of our redemption. Amen. You got to know that, though. You can't be tossed to and fro. Well, I don't know if this is right. Well, I don't know if that's right. I don't know what this is, but I don't know what that is. But I do know what that is, but I don't really know what this person's saying. Come on. Paul stood up one day and he said, if an angel from heaven comes and preach any, in other words, comes and says anything different than what I'm preaching to you, let that angel be cursed. Wow. Wow. And Brother Branham stood up and basically said the same thing. He said, if I have preached this message, if I have preached you the truth tonight, he said, let God come on the scene and we'll see what he'll do. Right? Amen. There was not one time, that's what I told that brother, I said, you tell me, we talk about vindication. You tell me one time that Brother Brown stood and said, well, it don't look like he's coming tonight. I think we'll just close. Find me one. Out of 1,100 sermons, find me one where Brother Branham, in other words, as we call it, God left him hanging. Why? Because he was a prophet. God respected that prophet because the prophet respected his word. He might have made mistakes. He called himself stupid. He almost killed himself twice. Almost was a murderer. Everybody with me on that? Wanted to kill those children. But God wouldn't let him. Because he had a purpose in his life. He wasn't protecting Brother Branham. He was protecting the gift. He was protecting the gift that was going to come through that man. Because he knew that he could come to adoption. You and I are going to have to come to a place to where we know. I tell you, everybody in this room, in this house, you can come to adoption. You can come to a place where you're settled, grounded, and when God speaks to you, you can put a stamp on it and say, that's it. Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. Listen, they're there. They lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Mark 4, verse 7, talking about the sower of the seed. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up. Remember, the tares are going to grow up also. Because you remember, Satan, I don't believe Satan knows everything. If he's all-knowing, he'd be God. I think he reacts to what God does. Brother Bob? I think that, I'm pretty sure. Because remember, he's not original. He can't make something. He only perverts what God's already made. He cannot create anything. So he's a copycat. So the thorns are going to grow up along with, even remember Jesus said, let them all grow up. And what did he say? Let them all mature. Because once you let them mature, you'll know what's a weed and you'll know what's wheat. Or you'll know what's good and what's bad. Burn this bunch, gather this into the harvest. That's what's happening right now. Right now. That's what's happening right now. It's being separated. The thorns. But what happened? The thorns grew up, choked it. Choked what? Choked the plant. And it yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground and did yield fruit. Now, what is fruit? Fruit's the culmination of what was planted. Everybody with me? If you planted okra, what's going to come to the end of that plant? Okra. All right? You plant an apple, you're going to expect an apple to come out to the end. When God plants the seed of eternal life in you, he expects the fruit to come out on the end of the vine. Everybody with me? So did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. John 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Let's put the inside of all that together. That plant came up and grew and produced fruit. Because the seed died, there was fruit. Matthew 5, verse 48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That word perfect doesn't mean you're not going to ever do anything wrong. It means complete or of full age, brought to its end. Remember what Brother Brown told us? What was the seventh seal? What's the seventh seal? The end of all things. What is it? He says the end of the struggling world. End of this, end of that. It's the end of your struggling. If you'll know where you're at. Brought to its end, finished. Wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Now that's an adopted son and daughter of God. Perfect, that which is perfect. Consummate human integrity and virtue of men. Look, full grown. Be therefore full grown, even as your Father which is in heaven is full grown. Is that all right? 1 Corinthians 13:9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, complete, restore all things, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. God doesn't mind you being a child. He minds you staying one. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, he didn't shake my hand. We've been having this problem. This devil has come to church here for the past several months. You got my seat. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, I think I'll drink some water while y'all talk about that. That was already open. When do y'all drink then? You got my seat. It has been an issue. I'm sorry. It just has, but this is not only... Where'd Josh go? Did he fall out? Get here early. That will alleviate all your problems. You can have your seat if you'll get here. I know it's not on, but I was leaning up to where maybe I could get the... Come on. Watch here, 1 Corinthians 14:20. We'll close. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children. I don't like this. I'm afraid. She got my seat 2 Sundays in a row. Two! Look at them. They spread out like a big old eagle. Well, praise the Lord. That's what we are. Make their little nest and their kids' nest and their grandma's nest and grandpa's nest. They take up the whole seat. Get here before they do. Because maybe you don't have no kids. And you can get here early. But the Bible tells us, but in understanding, be men. In understanding, be men. Be mature. God wants you to be mature. Listen, God doesn't mind you crying out to Him. We cry out to God all the time. But He don't want us to cry out about every little situation. Okay? Every little situation. No. He wants you to take this Bible and say, I stand on the Word of God. But in understanding, be men. Hebrews 5:13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Can't drive the car. Though he have a brain, though she has hands, though they have a heart, though they have a little bit of intelligence, they're not mature enough to drive a car. That's why there's limits on, you know, the drinking age is 21. Why? Because they think you're, it's kind of stupid, but they think you're, at 21, you know what you're doing. At 16, you know how to drive. Lay off a few years, but why are those laws in place? Those laws are in place because that man looks at somebody and says, Eula, you're just not mature enough to vote. You just don't have the, you know, not yet. And you sure can't drive daddy's big old truck. But now if you get daddy's age and you go through and you take what? Training. You'll get your license. Because you tell them and show them that you can do it. Then you can drive your daddy's big old truck. I saw him today. There was 15 cars behind him. He drives like an old woman. An 80,000 pound one. With about, what, 20,000 chickens on his truck. 5,000 chickens. 5,000? You should went up that hill faster. We always meet because my mail route and his chicken route's the same. We usually meet twice. He goes down, I come up, and I go down. He's coming up that big old long hill at 323, and he's just chugging along, and them people right behind him, they love you, brother. They love you. All of them had their windshield wipers on and water for some reason. There was things hitting the windshield, you know. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. God doesn't mind you being a baby. He has got patience that will quit being babies. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those, now watch, even those who by reason of use practice makes perfect. Eula, you're going to have to take a course. You're going to have to learn how to almost put that truck together, take it apart. But they'll train you to do that, and then they'll take you out on a course, and they'll watch you. Right? And if you pass that test, and if you don't knock all the cones over and run yourself off in a ditch somewhere or hit the instructor, don't ever do that. Don't ever hit the instructor. Then what will happen is they'll give you a certificate with a seal on it that says you're authorized to drive that big old truck of your daddy's. Let's try small cars first. But that's the way God is. God's the same way. If a tutor and a guy, if teachers watch over us, according to Galatians, if we're watched over by teachers, the Holy Ghost, all right? We're watched over by him all the time, Brother Ram. We'll read it next time we come here, where Brother Ram says the Holy Ghost will go back to the Father. And this is a dramatization. There's not three people. Okay? But it's a dramatization that the Holy Ghost is the, what? It's the Spirit that's around you and in you, watching your every move that you make. And he goes back to the Father and says, hey, this guy is doing everything you told him to do. Right. He's passing every test, every time. Then God says, okay, we got something we're going to do. We're going to take him up on a mountain. Or we're going to take him out in the middle of the square. Or we're going to let something happen in his life that I'm going to put my seal of approval on him, and you're going to see that that's where you're going to hear from me. That's what he did with Brother Branham on the mountain here, and the other day when I read you about the sword fit in the hand. That was his placing. I just believe that. And I believe all of us have to come to a sword in the hand. You don't have to be up on a mountain, and you don't have to be in Arizona, Georgia. But anyway, you don't have to be where a sword fits your hand. You got to see the sword is the word. And this has got to fit your hand. You got to make your hand fit this. Okay? Not this fit your hand. Your hand must fit this. And what it is because this is molding you. It molded Brother Branham into a place to where when he grabbed that sword, it fit, he said, perfectly. So the word fit perfectly in his hand. And what did he do with that? He give it to me and you. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Ephesians 2 verse 20. We'll be done. Come on, musicians. Ephesians 2 verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, what? Groweth? Why would we want to build a house and just build a foundation and walk away from it and say, I got a house? No, you're just getting started. It's part of the house. It's a very important part of the house. But it's not the house. Same way with you. You're a house. You're a tabernacle. Groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together. Watch. For a habitation of God through the Spirit. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And then he took Jesus on the mountain and said, if you're going to get it, this is who you're going to get it from. He adopted him into the family. Let's stand our feet. So that's what he said. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell, hear ye him. We got to come to them. Well, Brother Byron says one time, he says, now hear ye them. It's the bride speaking now. But it's not going to be the bride. It's not going to be a babbling baby. Because remember, when you get to Revelation 19, you've come from a bride to a wife. A wife is the maturity of the bride. And his wife hath made herself ready. You got to put the garment on. The Lord will give you the garment. The Lord will give you the opportunity. But you got to put it on. You got to say, be it unto me according to thy word. You got to believe sometimes things that you don't even at the moment believe yourself. Come on. But remember, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope and made that hope into faith. And that faith took him to a promised son. You and I, in the end time, are going to have to produce the promised son. Not a baby, but a full-grown man called the Son of Man in bride form. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
Amen. Let's sing, Let the Worshippers Arise. Key of F.
Let's worship him.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Yes, let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I'm surrendering to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I'm surrendering to song of your redeemed
as the bride of every nation. Talking about us.
Is awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song. A song to our King.
Why? Because we're sons and daughters of God. Don't let the devil
arise.
Ever tell you that you're anything different. You're a predestinated son and daughter of God.
Let the sons and the daughters sing.
You're predestinated to adoption. You're predestinated to be able to look at your children and pray for them. And the devil back off. That's your job. That's something for you to do. You say, how do you know that? The Bible just told you, because of you exercising your faith, you'll be able to do this. You exercise your faith.
Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Do you tonight? Do you surrender everything?
I'm surrendering my all.
Now, we see this.
Father, I see the Lamb arise
in Revelation 5,
with the book,
the most sublime scripture in the Bible. When that Lamb takes the book with your name in it, redeems you, and makes you kings and priests. He's done it for us.
The song of eternity, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is our King. Let the worshipers arise.
Yes, Lord, grant it, Father. Lord, let us see more of you, Lord, in ourselves, Father, in our brothers and sisters, Lord. Let us be, Lord, as the one stood that day and said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Father, what a time, Lord. A time that we're looking at right now. It's in our face, Father. We're looking at you, Lord. And you said you'd do it, Father. You said you'd be with us. You'd never leave us, Lord. In this dark hour, Lord, we know that things are coming, Lord. But Father God, we know that you gave us, Lord, the right vehicle. You pressurized us for this time, Lord, so that we can be ejected out of here, Father. Lord, give us strength for the things that we need. Be with us, Lord, this weekend, Father. Bless Brother Chris as he speaks to us, Father, this weekend, Lord. I pray that you grant, Lord, the healing of the bodies of the ones that are sick, Lord. That they'll just reach up now and touch you, Father. And Lord, if we need salvation, Lord, that they'll reach up and touch you for that, Lord. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the things you give us, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's come among us, Lord. This in earthen vessels now. And Lord, it's absolutely taking over our lives, Father. Lord, be our headship. Our husband, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Yes, sing it to him. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. Oh, to be a son and daughter of God. To be a child.
I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
I was meditating the other day on the book of Esther. You know, we've all been through it. And the word God's not even mentioned in the book of Esther. It's a story. It's a story about a little Jewish girl that comes to a place to where the king is absolutely captivated by this one girl. Because she put on the garment right. She walked right. She did things right. Thousands of other girls were involved in it. He picked one because of her character. And I like what, I believe it was Mordecai. She said, I'm going in to see the king. My people are going to be destroyed. She found out what was going to happen. That Haman was going to grab a group of people and they were going to go in and kill the Jews. And they were totally defenseless. Didn't know anything about it. It was going to be a surprise attack. All right? So she put on a dress that pleased the king. And she said, if I go in, if I die, I die. Because if you went in to see the king, even though that was his wife, if you went in to see the king without him holding out the scepter, you died. They took you out and killed you right then. That's how reverent the kingship was. But she put on her best. She knew what the king liked. She knew that he wouldn't turn her down. Because she put on everything he liked. Everything he wanted, she put it on. And before she went in, Mordecai told her, said, you may die. In other words, though, he said, but you were born for this moment. Right here. You were born for this moment right here to present yourself to the King of Kings. And oh God, if you're dressed right, act right, speak right, God is so pleased with us, folks, till he's going to automatically. That king, I don't think that king even hesitated. He hadn't seen her for 30 days. He hadn't seen her for 2,000 years. He hadn't seen her for 2,000 years. This king wanted to see his bride. But his bride was a little apprehensive because she knew she was going in uninvited. But I believe, Brother John, always in the king's heart, he was waiting on that queen to walk through that door. He was waiting on her to come at the right time. And as soon as she walked in, the Bible says he took and put out his scepter. And some people, in the old Jewish tradition, that scepter was a cross. It had a cross on the end of it. It had a bowl and a cross. And what did Jesus do? He stuck out the cross. He said, I can't kill you. In other words, I've already died for you. Come on in. What do you want? She said, oh, my people, they're going to die. The devil has given us all these problems. The devil is fixing to put us in a trap. The devil is fixing to destroy my people. He said, I can't change my word. Because remember, the Medes and Persians, that was the law. If whatever a king said, you couldn't change it. He didn't change this. But he said, I tell you what I'll do. He said, you send letters. You send letters out and you defend yourself. See, a lot of times God is not going to win your battle for you. But he said, you do that and you defend yourself. And isn't that what God did for us? He said, I'm giving you something to defend yourself with. The devil's coming. I know he's coming on this day. I'm telling you when he's coming at you. I'm telling you what his tactic is. But I'm going to give you something to fight with. Didn't change it. He just showed it where it was at. Showed her where it was at. It was in his word that he spoke. And guess what happened? They're still celebrating that now. It's the day of Purim. Which means that one day when Haman went out and he was going to defeat them, and I mean, he had them all together. He was going to squash them all. He just didn't know that God had given the bride the plan. And she wrote letters, 1,100 of them, 66 of them, and said, you can defend yourself. I know when he's coming. I know his tactic. I know when he's going to show up. This is the day. Well, guess what? You know what happened, the rest of the story. They wiped them out. And then they came and hung Haman on the same gallows that Haman was going to hang Mordecai on. What a mighty God we serve. All minds clear. The Old Testament, don't ever do away with it. Man, it's got so many good allegories and types and shadows. And like I said, the book of Esther, the word God's not even in it. It's really not a religious thing. It's just three or four people interacting with each other, but it's really full of good nuggets. But she was born for a time like this. You and I were born for the time like this right here. This is the home stretch now, folks. It's a home stretch. I believe the baton has been handed to the last person. I'm not talking about person. I'm talking about bride person. And we're going to finish this thing. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for all things again. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one. Be with us on the highways, Lord. Home, be with us this weekend as we come together, Lord, on Saturday and Sunday and worship you, Father, with Brother Chris. Give him the words to speak to us, Father, that will help each and every one of us. Just bless us now. Be with the ones that are sick. Raise them up for your honor and glory, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your many blessings you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that leads us and guides us into all truth, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.